Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Once again, the sound of rock cracking. You've got Doc Holliday and Rock Splitting Politics again right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And we're glad you're listening to us. All the new listeners, we're getting new people every week. We're glad you're listening to us. And right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, you're going to hear things you won't hear anywhere else. And I'm going to tell you today's show, I want to ask a question. What does General Robert E. Lee and Barack Obama have in common? I'm going to answer that question for you in just a few minutes. Before we do, we're going to get to the news. I got to tell you about what's going on in Republican nomination. If you've not heard, I'm sure you have, but we're going to talk about who's got it. Looks like Romney's got it. Newt Gingrich bowed out. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And I got some news to tell you. On a personal note, a member of my family, my nephew, got a front page article, local paper. You know why? Well, I'll tell you. It has to do with Michelle Obama picking my nephew as a winner. And I'll tell you about that coming up very soon on the news item. Then this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award. It really upset me, and I'll try to say it in a non-upsetting manner, but something was said that really gets under my skin, and we're going to talk about it. And then the rock splitting Obama fact is something that you may not have heard, but you know somebody that is in your friendship group that's probably thinking the same things. So we're going to talk about that on this week's Rock Splitting Obama fact. So what a show, packing it all in. First, I'm going to tell you, you know, the question was, why or what does General Robert E. Lee and Barack Obama have in common? Well, just to get us ready for that, let's hear a little bit from the scene from the Pickett's Charge in the movie Gettysburg. Well, there was a lot of fighting, a lot of dying in that movie. The scene, what happened, of course, is historic in the history of all America. As some people talk about Gettysburg as being the central part of American history from the beginning till today in 2012. Go back and Gettysburg, epicenter. And so that's what I talked about some in my book and Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But first, let's get right down to the news. And let me tell you about my nephew. I had a nephew that got the front page of our local paper. And the reason why is he went to the Easter egg row at the White House. But, you know, you can get there by, and it's every administration for over 100 years has every year had the Easter egg row at the White House. So my nephew wanted to go, but lo and behold, you know, they had a drawing where you could, how many would get to come, but it was too late. But he could enter a contest. So he entered a poster contest and entries from around the country, and Michelle Obama picked the two winners. There were two winners, just two out of the whole country. Lo and behold, Michelle Obama picked my nephew. So I'm glad that the Obamas have seen the artistic talent in the Holliday family. But I am proud of my nephew, and I'm proud of Michelle Obama and the president and the entire first family. They They are nice people, put on a great show. And I'm telling you, I want to, from the bottom of my heart, thank Michelle Obama. I think they have been an outstanding first family. I like them in that way. The policies is where I have a complete disregard for this president's intellectual ability to run the country. But let me give this first, right off the bat, I am proud of my nephew. I am proud of Michelle Obama picking him. And I think she's a first-rate first lady, and she has got everything it takes to be a good host at the White House. So let me thank the first family and for how they treated my nephew and all the others on during the Easter egg roll, the annual event at the White House. Now, let me go on in today's show and tell you, let's talk about the Republican nomination. We got to talk about it. Newt said he's going to take it all the way to Tampa. Well, I think he ran out of gas. He had a great talk about $2.50 gas, but it wasn't good enough to pump his tank full of financial cash, evidently, and he has suspended his campaign. And he's going to bury the hatchet. Last week he buried the hatchet with Mitt Romney as far as making a phone call. And I think everybody's starting to see, even if you don't like Mitt Romney, and right here on this show, I've said that he was not my number one or number two or number three pick. But we have to admit, no matter who you are, if you don't want to see four more years of Barack Obama, we can all at least agree to this, we'd call it the least common denominator, okay? This is what will bind us together. Mitt Romney can be called at least the least objectionable alternative. That's Mr. Romney. He's the least objectionable alternative. So we've got to get behind Mitt if you don't want four more years of Barack Obama. It's not a time to go look for a third-party candidate and say, hey, we did this or that. The reason why, we got a country to save, we got a future to secure, and Mitt Romney will do that much better than four more years of Barack Obama. Now, getting to what we got to talk about today, I've got to tell you about the Tombstone of the Week Award. And the Tombstone of the Week Award goes to Chris Matthews. Did you hear last week what he said? He was talking with Michael Steele, the former head of the RNC, happens to be African-American, and they're on the show. And Chris Matthews said, he said the Republican primary voters were like the Grand Wizards. Wow. Tell me, are the talking points that the press use now? It's because it's just last fall that David Gregory made a similar thing, talking about the GOP base, and talked about the Grand Wizard. Does Chris Matthews, does he not understand the sensitivity? Was Chris Matthews there when African-Americans were lynched? Was there when the Ku Klux Klan started, when in some places more Republicans were lynched than African-Americans were lynched? On and on. And I just want to say, Chris Matthews, I'm ashamed of what you've done. Not only ashamed, I am offended. The harder we work to bring racial reconciliation, I've been in it for years now. Go back and listen to our program 2 or 3 weeks ago with Nettie Winters. If you haven't heard that program, go back and listen to it. But I want to work to build bridges. Then we get these nincompoop language like Chris Matthews used. It does nothing but divide, and it shows how ignorant he is when he doesn't realize. Because I want to say, were you there, Chris Matthews, when someone was lynched back in the lynching days? Were you there? Do you understand when you equate me as a Republican, as a someone in the primary base, if you equate me with what happened to the lynchings? I can't understand that, because if you knew what they did you know in the lynchings, they didn't just lynch somebody. They put them up to hang them up without any kind of trial. We don't know if they're guilty or not. And then they've not only killed him, lynched him. They put him up in the railroad depot because, you know, back at that time, at the turn of the century, the only good paying job an African-American could get was being a conductor on a railroad. So you know what happened when someone got lynched? Most of the time, they were put up near the train depot. So every train that went by, they wanted the conductors to see that there's a lynching going on, and they wanted to make sure the conductor got the word to all the African Americans and all the communities, don't go to that community because they will lynch you if you get out of line. Does Chris Matthews know the horror of the family? Did you know that the sheriff would come by and he would go to the best store and he'd go to the family and say and bring the body and say he's sorry? But that's after what had happened when sometimes the people who actually lynched and killed and murdered this African-American would put him on a car like a deer, like an animal, and parade him around town as a sheriff was off somewhere. And then the sheriff would come in and he'd go to the best store and buy a best suit of clothes, like being able to bury that lynched African-American in a new set of clothes would take away the sting. Does Chris Matthews understand the history of what lynching was about and the terrorism that happened in the American South and different parts of this country? And he realized it was part of the lynching was part of the Democratic Party plan to get rid of the Republicans out of the South? Does he not understand that Republicans were lynched along with African Americans many times? Now, I am offended by what Chris Matthews said. And I would like an apology. I think he should apologize. If he was conservative and had said something that nasty, that drastic, he had lost his job by now. And well, he should have. Should. MSNBC is who he works for. Call him. Let him know how offended you are. I am offended by his words. I have not heard an apology. Were you there, Chris Matthews? Do you know what you're saying when you equate the Republican base with grand wizardry, the Ku Klux Klan? What you're doing is disgusting. And President Obama, after the shooting of Congresswoman Giffords, when she was almost murdered, and he said, calm down the rhetoric. And what is Chris Matthews doing but spreading hate? That's exactly what he's doing, trying to divide and conquer. Now, where's the president on this matter? I wish he would weigh in on it. Disgusting words by Chris Matthews, MSNBC, this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award goes to those words, which should be buried 6 feet in the ground beneath a tombstone, and we should get an apology from Chris Matthews. What an outrageous, horrendous insensitivity he showed to American citizens like you and me. Now, we must go on with the show. I have to tell you that you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're glad you're listening to us. We welcome all new listeners, and you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And I have to tell you, yes, this week, we are glad to have a new sponsor. I'm going to tell you about our new sponsor here. And one of the things that I am proud to say is that I know the man who, or the family that puts this these playing cards together. I've met them, and in fact, we've had them on our show in the past year. Robert Sanchez and his brother helped put together a new company. And folks, our good friends at the official American Standard Playing Cards believe the foundation of the nation is strong. Their mission is for America to have her own playing cards while sowing seeds of liberty. You can get yours today. To learn more, go to my homepage and look in my Doc Recommends section. You can go right there where you clicked on, or you can click on their ad. It's also found on my homepage. You'll be glad you did. So go there, check out those cards, and order a pack. You need them for you and your family. And I just want to say a big amen to Robert Sanchez and what he and his family are doing, getting the information out to Americans everywhere, how to better understand the Constitution. And we're proud of what Robert and his brother's doing. So go to their site right now, check them out, order some cards. Like I said, you'll be glad you did. I also want to tell you that we are glad what Web Talk Radio is doing. Web Talk Radio has got so many good shows. Y'all to listen to those. We're glad so many listeners come from other shows. We thank you for listening. And we want you to know you're going to hear things on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics you won't hear everywhere else. You just are not going to hear the perspective. And it's very important that you listen every week. We're going to carry you through and get you through this election coming up in November. We are going to stand up for America, for the United States Constitution, for freedom, for liberty. And you'll be glad every week when you click on to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We are going to crack some rock around here and bust some rock. And I have to tell you, one of the things I have in my book, and you can check out my book on the website, getobamaoutnow.com. And my book's called Rock Splitting Politics. And in the book, I use several chapters to explain why this election year is like the Battle of Gettysburg. And I go back, and today's show, I want to tell you what does General Robert E. Lee and Barack Obama have in common? Well, one of the things that it will turn some people upside down. But they do have this in common. Both men were trying to transform America as it was. And not only that, they were using or abusing the United States Constitution. And Robert E. Lee, he was leading an insurrection against it. And Barack Obama is trampling on it every way he can. Now, one of the things that makes Gettysburg this election and the Battle of Gettysburg similar is the fact that General Lee came into Gettysburg on a high note. He had just won the Battle of Chancellorsville, probably, like to say, one of the greatest battles, general-led battles, and a lot of it went to Stonewall Jackson's ability to maneuver and move. But Robert E. Lee had a great, great strategic win at Chancellorsville. He was riding high, went crossed over into Maryland, and then on into Pennsylvania. Why? He wanted to break the Union Army and get the Democrats of that era, who a lot of them were wanting to quit the war, and he thought if he could get some victories in the North, take the war into some of the northern country, then the Democrats would be ready to sue for peace. And that was his objective. And that would transform America, fundamentally destroyed America that we know today. We would have never had it. And in so doing, the southern states would have their own country. But what else would happen? Of course, the southern states, if they had their own country, we'd still have slavery. You can have all kinds of debates of what might have been. But Barack Obama, you say, how can you equate Barack Obama with Robert E. Lee? Slavery is the ultimate thing that's going to happen under four more years of Barack Obama. Slavery to debt. Do you understand that? Just last week, Barack Obama was talking about $25,000, the average student debt when students get out of college. No, that's just the student debt. How much do they have to pay for the national debt, Mr. Obama? Did you tell them that? On top of that $25,000, they got another $50,000, and a lot of that they're having to pay for because of you and your spending and your inability to reduce the deficit and get this nation turned around. Barack Obama, you didn't tell them the whole story. That's the rest of the story. You can talk about student loans, but you got to tell them they have the national debt too. And look around, all those people who can't pay $50,000, which is most of the Americans. And that $50,000 means for every man, woman, and child, including babies, including the disabled, including those who don't have a means of making $50,000 to give to the government, and that's $50,000 on top of what it takes to live. So who do you think? Those college students have got a huge burden to bear, because they're going to be ones making enough to get taxed enough to pay that $50,000 for those who are not able to, like the young babies and the children. So those students got more than a $25,000 student debt. And that's why Barack Obama is bringing slavery to America. When you look at the financial slavery that we are going to have, some people may be offended by me saying that. I'm telling you, we got to get beyond these racial politics. Don't look at the color of a person's skin. I don't care if it's Robert E. Lee or Barack Obama. Look at the policies. And this is the time they talk about when President Obama gets elected will be post-racial politics. Well, it needs to be. And let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a little bit. Just, I have a friendship with the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., and that's Alveda King, Dr. Alveda King. We've had her on our show, and I've worked with her over the past several years. She's a wonderful lady, and she knows how to stand strong for what she believes in. She works very much in the pro-life area, in the civil rights for the babies in the womb, is like she likes to say. But I was speaking with her, and I told her, I said, you know, all these years that I've tried to put in and learn more and do things in racial reconciliation, and I always thought that this nation was just on the shore of the Jordan River, and all we had to do to get to the promised land was somebody had to have the courage to step in the water and get to the other side. But you know, and what I realize now in the last several months, in the last couple of years, I go back to Alveda's uncle when the night before he was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. And probably some of the most prophetic words that ever were uttered by any American came that night, April 3rd, 1968. And I remembered I was just a young boy, and I didn't live too far from Memphis. And I don't remember, I can't tell you exactly what the feelings were, but I do know it was an odd time. Even nature seemed to be speaking out, because Martin Luther King Jr. was supposed to be in Memphis 2 weeks earlier, but there was a late spring snowstorm and delayed his trip. And I remember that snow. It was probably one of the biggest snows I've ever seen in my lifetime. Came in the first day of spring in 1968, and it delayed Dr. King's speech in Memphis. But he came on. He was feeling sick, and he wasn't going to go. And it's at Mason Temple there. It's the main church where the Church of God in Christ has come from, and which has millions of members across not only America but across the world. And Dr. Martin Luther King was there, and he wasn't going to go speak because he was tired. He wasn't feeling good. And one of the leaders in the civil rights movement, Ralph Abernathy, spoke, but the people were there, and it was a stormy night. And it's back when they didn't have air conditioning, and the shutters were just blowing, and there was lightning, and it's just a horrible, they didn't think people would even come out to come see Dr. King, but they came, and Ralph Abernathy got on the phone and said, look, the people want to hear you. You need to come on over. And Dr. King came on over, and he spoke in his moving speeches like he always does. And then he got to the end. He said something he never said before in all his speeches. He looked out across the crowd, and he said, I want you to know that we as a people will get to the promised land. He said, God put him up on a mountain. And he said, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. He said, he's seen the promised land. Just like Moses had seen the promised land, but he never got to go to it. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. told us he had seen it. But you know what? Going back to that speech Alveda's Uncle Martin gave you. And I realize now that God lifted him up and put him on that mountain and he could see the promised land. And you know what our duty is now? We've had C.L. Bryant, Alveda King, other African-American leaders on this show. And you go back and listen to the shows we had them on. But what we're seeing now, I think we're seeing pioneers of freedom and liberty in the 21st century. And people like C.L. Bryant, Reverend C.L. Bryant, Dr. Alveda King, and others. And what we're trying to do here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We are like the Daniel Boones, the Frederick Douglasses. Those who paved the way were pioneers. We're trying to show people how to get through like the Cumberland Gap and get to the mountain so we can see the promised land. It's not easy climbing a mountain. It's not easy. It was not easy for the pioneers to get their wagon across the mountains and all the treachery and all the different things and obstacles and challenges that made it very unsuccessful sometimes. But Daniel Boone helped find the Cumberland Gap, a way, a passage through the mountains. And in race relations, in many ways, we got people at the foot of the mountain complaining and trying. But until you make that hike up the mountain in uncharted territory, and that's what we're trying to do, find somebody that can get us through, to get us through like the Cumberland Gap and say, this is the way. We get to the mountain. We got to cross the mountain before we can get to the promised land. But Dr. King said he saw it and we're going to get there as a people. And when he says we're going to get there as a people, I believe he was talking about white, black, red, yellow, brown. We as a people will get to the promised land. The question is when. We're not going to get there before we climb up the mountain. And that's what this show is about. That's what other shows and other people, we are looking for the passageway to get to the mountain. That's a long story to tell you that I want you to know that Doc Holliday is not looking at race with Barack Obama. I'm looking at his policies, and I'm telling you they're lacking. Like the handwriting on the wall in the book of Daniel. In the Old Testament, he said the king, grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, said, I can't understand the writing on the wall. And Daniel said, your kingdom, you have been found wanting. Your kingdom is going to be taken away from you that night. And it was. Well, I think the policies of Barack Obama are found wanting. And that's what our show is going to do, expose those. That's what we want to do is look at the policies. And when I say Barack Obama has something in common with General Robert E. Lee, forget about the color of the skin. Let's don't look at skin color. Let's look at policies and what each of them want to do to the United States Constitution. And from that, I say this election will become more and more like the Battle of Gettysburg. Why? Because it is the attacker of the Constitution. Did Axelrod not say he equate the right wing of the Republican Party to terrorists? And I just told you what a domestic terrorist did with the Ku Klux Klan. You heard me when I talk about Chris Matthews. And Chris Matthews call out Grand Wizard. Is this not some kind of play game with the press and the Obama re-election campaign committee? Do they not play some games and put some talking points out and say, let's divide this country and divide it and make people upset and mad and get racial tones all fired up? That's not what winning elections should be about. It should be about who's going to do what's best for America. And, you know, in the Battle of Gettysburg, when Pickett's Charge happened, and if you don't understand that, you go back and read about the Battle of Gettysburg, where there's 3 days of battle, 1, 2, 3, and the last day, The Confederates could have gone home and had a draw, but no, Robert E. Lee was not satisfied. He wanted to make a big gamble, sent his army in huge numbers out across a field that was a mile long. I have walked that field. I've been there where my ancestors went across there, and I'm telling you, they went under fire, and that's exactly what Barack Obama is going to be. They're going to try to confuse and cover up the attack, but they cannot keep from walking across the open ground because they have a record. That's the open ground. They can't hide their policies. They can't say, this is what we're going to do, because we're going to say, what did you do? They've had 3.5 going on 4 years, and that's why this battle for the election of 2012 is like the Battle of Gettysburg, and that's why you need to know they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at us, and we got to stand for the freedom, for liberty, the United States Constitution. If you don't like what I'm talking about as far as the making a similarity between the rebel insurrection against the United States of America and this attack of the Constitution by the far left, then write me, email me, go to radio at teaparty.ms. You can click on there and email me, tell me where I'm wrong. But I am so involved with telling you and getting you ready for this battle. You cannot sit it out. We need everybody that will knock on doors and say, even if it's your least objectionable alternative, if Mr. Romney is that least common denominator, we must bind together and protect the future of this nation against the policies that are tearing this country apart. Let's build up and not tear down. And that's what I want to tell you about today. And that leads us right into this week's rock-splitting Obama fact. There is a comedian, actor, was on Saturday Night Live for many years, John Lovitz. But you know what? He's a Democrat. And he said he last time he voted for Barack Obama. But he said he went on a rant and made it on web. You can check it out and Google it. But he used a lot of foul language. I am not going to do that on this family show. But what he said basically said, hey, I'm not going to vote for Barack Obama again. And he was going over how what Barack Obama said he'd do, and now, you know, what he's done. Anyway, he said he voted for him first time. He's not going to do it the second time. And that's this week's rock-splitting Obama fact. It's John Lovitz and others. He's not just one person. You hear it from others. People who voted for Barack Obama said, not this time. They're saying they've had enough. They've seen it. And that's why when I talked about the Obama re-election team, just like in Pickett's Charge, they're going to have to walk across open fields. They're going to have to walk across an open because they have a record to defend, and they're going to do everything in the world to try to make this election about Romney and everything they can, and they won't give up power easily. So look for absolutely a horrible election that gets mean and dirty. I hope it doesn't happen. But I know the far left, and they do not want to give up power when they see that they just, if they get 4 more years, they can just about ruin this country. But I do feel good about what Mitt Romney's doing, and he's realizing he's got to reach out to these people who did vote for Obama. That's what's going to swing the election. If he can get some of the people who voted for Obama last time to say, hey, 4 years ago, I was happy, but I'm not now. You can't just sit there and call somebody stupid for voting for Barack Obama last time. That's not going to get them to vote against him this time. So Romney has a hard road to hoe, but he can do it. And I was real happy with his speech last week after he won 5 states and pretty much wrapped up the nomination, and Newt said he was getting out. And he hit on the right objects. He mentioned that the single mom who feels heartbroken when she has to explain to her kids that she needs to take a second job, and grandparents who can't afford the gas to visit the grandchildren. And, you know, and he went on and he spoke about the mom and dad who never thought they'd be on food stamps. and about the small business owner desperately cutting back just to keep the doors open one more month. He's hitting on what's real in America. He's connecting. And not only that, he's putting fear into the Obama reelection campaign. And so he's going after those who voted for Obama the first time, and I'm glad he is. We need to help him out. And that's this week's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. As always, I want you to remember the most important four words of this election year, GetObamaOutNow.com. See you next week. And I said we're going to talk about health care this week. We have to rearrange to get our interview in. So next week, we'll be talking about health care and what it means to you, this Obamacare. Will the Supreme Court uphold it or not? We're going to talk about it next week. I'll see you then. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.